Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline from CBS Sports, of course. He'll be on the call of the game from the sidelines, along with our guys Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts as well. Evan Washburn is with the Bull and the Fox. Evan, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing well. Always good to be with you guys.
Yeah, another trip back to, well, I was going to say back to Cleveland. That's not to Cleveland. It's to Pittsburgh, where the Browns will be playing on the road. The Steeler fans will be fired up. Let's look at from a Pittsburgh perspective first, Evan, because, you know, obviously the Steelers did not get off to a great start this year, but the last two games against pretty good offenses in Atlanta and Cincinnati, they played really well, much better defensively. Do you think their defense is kind of back to at least, I'm not going to say great, but at least being good? Or were the last two games just an anomaly?
Yeah, I would say they're serviceable. And I think probably the biggest highlight would be the way they played against Cincinnati in moments. I mean, look, Cincinnati's offense has been pretty dynamic this year, and they get the ball out so quick. And Pittsburgh's strength has been their pass rush. The way that Dalton plays and the way that Bill Lazor's built that offense, it's kind of tough to get after the quarterback. They were still able to do it at times. I think their defense is managing their way through the season, I think, would be the best way to describe it. And as long as their offense can continue to kind of find the times to be explosive, whether it's they'd like to be early in the game and then dominate time of possession if Connor is running the ball well. That's their formula as I've seen it, because we had the bad, which was Kansas City in week two as a crew, and then we were there in Cincinnati right before their bye. So I feel like I've seen the two versions of Pittsburgh. And to your question about their defense, there's moments in that Cincy game where they played well enough.
Yeah, we're talking with Evan Washburn here, of course. We've been talking a lot about the Steelers-Browns Week 1 matchup where it was a tie, and it felt to us like the Browns were kind of happy that they got the tie, and the Steelers were, like, angry and felt like it was a loss. And so we're looking at this thinking, hey, this may be, like, a game where the Steelers are angry and felt like the Browns got the best of them Week 1. Do you get that sense at all?
Well, I'll be curious. Look, we haven't spoke with them yet. Coming off the bye is really always a kind of a dangerous time for a team. Yeah. I heard a great acronym. It was called PBS. I forget who said it. Somebody on the NFL Network. And it was a great acronym for post-bye syndrome. Mm. And Pittsburgh has a way, even when they're not coming off a bye, to be kind of lackadaisical. I know Cleveland's slow starts have been a big narrative in recent weeks. Well, Pittsburgh, that was a big part of their sluggish start to the season. So to whether or not they're coming into this game angry because of a tie, I think that to me doesn't seem like it'll be at the forefront. I think they're just going to do everything in their power to not fall back into some of the bad habits they had in the Cleveland game, in the Kansas City game, and through the first 4 weeks of the year. But that's going to be a challenge because of being a week away. And whether it's good or bad, I'm not sure. I have to imagine it's bad. Cleveland's played a lot of football, so they'll have no trouble summoning the energy necessary, you would think, to start the game.
Evan, the Browns have been in all but one game this year, and yet they sit with just two wins, certainly better than the zero and the one of the last 2 years, but not good enough. Hugh Jackson's seat is hot. It's been a huge topic on this show all week. How much of part of the broadcast will that be? Is that any part of the conversation at all? The fact that, hey, it's not unrealistic that if the Browns lose, especially if they get smoked by Pittsburgh, that Hugh Jackson could get fired after the game.
Yeah, well, that's always, for us, kind of a, I don't want to say delicate, because it's not like the guys aren't afraid to talk about it upstairs, or we're not afraid to report on it if it's truly something that's being discussed. I mean, I know when we've done Jet games in years past, the past 2 years, where Todd Bowles has apparently been on a hot seat, that we've had to address it in some form or fashion. our way of doing that is using whatever it is we get from Hugh and from the guys and from the team on Saturday afternoon and putting that out there in whatever form is appropriate to what's happening in the game. Now, if Cleveland's getting blown out in the third or fourth quarter, I'm sure that's a topic that Dan Fouts upstairs will have to address or that Ian will present. But I wouldn't necessarily think it's something that we go into a game
sure.
going, we're going to hammer this topic home. It really has to do with how the game goes, as it does really most of our topics. The one thing that I'm curious about, and it might be something we address early in a broadcast or even before broadcast, would be if there was any major adjustment this week to the play calling or the game planning offensively just because of Hugh's emotional comments afterwards. It sounds like that's quieted themselves just based off of using emotion and frustration after a game as an excuse, but you never know. And that's hopefully something we'll learn in the next 24 hours here.
You know, Evan, it's funny. A lot of people thought, including myself, that the loss of Le'Veon Bell to start the season would be a huge issue for their offense. And it really hasn't been because they've had a capable replacement, more than capable, and James Conner, who's come on and played really, really well for them. In fact, he had over 130 yards the first game against the Browns, which was his first start. You surprised by how well he's played?
I am. I mean, look, he didn't really do anything last year. We never addressed him in any of our games. I remember seeing him in training camp, and that would have been obviously really early on because he was a rookie. And then, obviously, his story was a bit different this year because there was a chance he was going to have to play. So, to answer your question flatly, yes. I mean, I think, and I'm surprised at just some of the things he can do that Le'Veon did as well. So, the offense doesn't look in that much different. Now, I'm still a believer that this team is markedly better with Le'Veon Bell in the lineup. That's not to say they can't achieve some of their goals without him, but this thought, because I know there are actually stats out there, because our crack VA, our crack graphics guy, has put them in production meetings, that statistically they've been better over the course of the last few seasons when Le'Veon Bell's not in the lineup. I'm not a believer of that. I've seen him make too many special plays and do too many things to a defense that frustrates him. But when it comes to Connor, he has, I think, exceeded expectations. And when he's been given a chance over the course of a game, he seems to be that type of runner that needs to be lathered up. And I think in games where they've gotten behind early, Kansas City obviously, they can't run the ball as much. And he's not yet, and maybe will never be, what Bell is as a pass catcher. So point being, Bell can still have a major imprint on a game when they're down and having to throw the ball every down to get back into it. I don't necessarily see that for Connor. He needs to run the ball effectively, and then he can make some plays in the passing game as an added bonus.
We're talking with Evan Washburn. He'll be on the sidelines. The game on CBS, Browns-Steelers this Sunday at 1 o'clock, Channel 19, of course. Dan Fouts will be the analyst, and Ian Eagle will be doing the play-by-play. Evan, speaking of running backs, the Browns made a surprising move last week when they traded Carlos Hyde to the Jaguars for a fifth-round pick. Dustin and I were both in favor of the move because we wanted to see both Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson play more. Nick Chubb certainly did last week. Duke Johnson didn't. What was your thoughts when you saw that trade, and what do you think about what you've seen from Nick Chubb so far?
I'm with you. And Nick Chubb, and I think Colin made the point too, and I thought it was really accurate. I mean, I feel like I've been watching Nick Chubb play football for like 10 years because he just was obviously such a presence for Georgia. And I remember him getting hurt and then kind of coming back from it, and then he seemed to be the second back last year. But I'm excited to see him in person here, and I think that he can be a really effective back. I feel like I've been hearing about Duke Johnson being this impactful player for a long time, which means that there's obviously some talent there. I don't know how they integrate him in without making it just obvious and predictable that he's in there to be in passing downs and passing situations. So that part of things will be interesting. And I understand it from a front office perspective. You have a desperate team. Now, on paper, they didn't appear to get it was a fifth-round pick. I'm not sure what that means, but if it was a situation where you were going to get more for Carlos Hyde from a Jacksonville team that's desperate for running back than you would have gotten any other point before the deadline, and then if you were going to plan on moving on from Hyde anyway, because of what you've seen from Chubb and what you have in Duke, then to me it makes a ton of sense.
As you prepare for games, you're always looking at storylines, I'm sure, and things that get you excited. How excited are you to see Baker Mayfield?
I am. I'll admit, I'm mostly excited because I think that he'll embrace in this what this game and what AFC North football can bring. It can bring some chippiness. It can bring some conversations after the play. And that's my favorite part of his game, the fire that he plays with. When he took that shot to the head in the Tampa game and immediately got up and got in that guy's face, I still see a lot of work to be done as a quarterback and plays that can be made or maybe not made. But what I've been incredibly impressed with is this dude appears to have no sense of I shouldn't be here or I need to be a rookie, I need to be quiet. I had Sam Darnold a few weeks ago, and I think he's uber talented, but he looks like a kid who's out there in a Jets uniform thinking, okay, I mean, I'm the rookie. I just got to make plays, and I got to be safe here. I got to, if it's there, I'll take it. If it's in, all the things that come with being a first year quarterback. When I watch Baker play, I don't see any of that sort of emotional uncertainty, if you will, and that to me is exciting. So I hope that his play can continue to develop to a point where it matches that, and then you really have something special. And this type of game, as you guys know, really can bring out the best of what this division is about, much like a Ravens Cincy game. The Cincy Pittsburgh games are a totally different beast altogether, but anytime this division gets together, it can be kind of a fight, and I think Baker seems really comfortable in that environment.
Evan Washburn of CBS Sports. Evan, we saw an official fired this week. He was the official that blew the terrible missed false start call on Russell Okung against the Browns. The Browns have unfortunately had four or five really egregious calls go against them. We know bad calls happen all the time. It seems like it's getting talked about more. When I hear players talk about it, I think there's too much whining and you got to just win the game. But nonetheless, when your travels around the league, do you feel like this year from talking to coaches and players that the officiating has been particularly bad, or is that just prisoner of the moment every year we're doing the same thing?
I don't want to say it's been particularly bad. I will say it's been a topic of discussion under the microscope more than I can ever remember. And I'll give you an example. We get some great stats from Stats Inc. or our crew putting together stuff, and we now have a ref report for each official or each crew that we're going to have in a game. And the main reasons this all started were because of the roughing the passer penalties and the targeting penalties, because we wanted to track throughout the year groups that has tendencies. Now, going back for as long as I can remember covering football, and obviously way before that, coaches and players have told us that part of their Wednesday team meeting is knowing who the officials will be, what their tendencies. They scout them just like they scout the opponent. I think it's a useful thing for the fans at home to know something about these crews, so I think we've kind of respectfully made that part of our pre-production work. I am very sympathetic to what these guys have to do with the added elements of targeting, of roughing the passer. And then I think the last part would be we have a lot of new officials. We saw Gene Steratore obviously move on. He's with us now. A couple retired. I know the one moved on to NBC, I think. So point being, you have some fresh guys in there, and I think they're going to have growing pains just like Baker's having growing pains, just like I did in my first year broadcasting. So all those things combined have made for something that could be viewed as, you know, I don't want to say a mess, but something that's required more critiquing and complaining than maybe even in years past.
Will you guys talk about on the call tomorrow the comments Hugh Jackson made after the game about trying to get more involved with the offense and Todd Haley? And obviously Big Ben chimed in on it this week as well, saying that Todd wouldn't be too happy with Hugh. He would imagine wouldn't be too happy with him. It's been a huge topic of conversation for us this week. I'm curious if you guys will – if that'll make the broadcast.
Yeah, I would. I think so. I think it's worthwhile. I mean, I can imagine just by listening to Hugh this week that and even Baker in his comments that – It's going to be chalked up more to just emotion after a loss. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to ask you tomorrow that if there's anything that's been different this week, and if there's not, been great. If there is, then we'll make sure to communicate that as well. That's our job. So I would think that it would be something that would be addressed in, at some point in the broadcast, but not in like a real, dramatic way. I think it's more that we were told X, Y, and Z about what's going on with the offensive game planning. And the Todd aspect is, will be brought up as well, just because even though he's faced the Steelers already, obviously, in week one, this will be his first time back in Heinz Field since he was not renewed at the end of last season.
When you in, you guys get a chance to sit down with these coaches, what roughly what percentage would you say when you sit down with these coaches do you feel like are comfortable and they open up to you and they're really honest versus the guys who may be more guarded and buttoned up?
That's good. I would say, I want to 50-50. It feels like a cop out, but it kind of feels. I want to be. I want to think it's more in maybe the 60-40 range. 60 being the guys not just get it and understand that we're doing something different than you guys are doing, or that the beat writers are doing on a weekly basis, and are willing to play ball with that. And then there's 40% that kind of have a blanket approach to all of it.
Right.
That being media and how much they want to give up. So. I'll say 60-40 just to avoid just being straight down the middle about it. Say 60% are we walk out of there thinking, okay, that was really constructive. And we have – the way we look at it, it's like you kind of want to go in there because we listen and read everything that's said or heard all week about the two teams, and our hope is to go into these meetings and be able to present a lot of these storylines and narratives that have been built and get true context from the source so that we can accurately cover them over the course of the game. So, and if the coach or player does not want to address them at all or chooses to feed us the same line they've said all week, that may or may not be true, then that's their prerogative and we just have to live with it. The hope is that they understand that we're just trying to build the best 3 hours for the fan at home and for everybody, and the most accurate. I mean, that's our big
right.
thing is just being accurate because we can't really fall into the cracks or of speculating on everything because we also have the game going on. So there's not a lot of room for nuance, if you know what I mean.
Sure. Browns at Steelers, Sunday, 1 p.m., CBS Sports Channel 19. Ian Eagle will be doing play-by-play. Dan Fouts is the game analyst. And Evan Washburn will be on the sidelines with the interviews and the insight during the game. Evan, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course, guys. Have a good one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.